This chazar is echnish barichat chashag mei Yehuda mizachat chesubas daf yud zayin. A brisa asks, with what praises do we dance in front of a kala? Ketz meraglim lefnei a kala. Beis Shammai say we praise her according to her actual attributes. Beis Hillel say in all cases we say that she's a beautiful and charming kala. Kala nova chasuda. Beis Shammai asks if the kala is lame or she's blind. Should we say that also the Torah says you're not allowed to lie? Beis Hillel said when we see someone who made a bad purchase, we're gonna say not nice things. Of course we're gonna praise the purchase so that he not feel bad. The same is for a kala. From here the Chacham said a person. Mind should always be with the people, meaning if the Kala found favor in the Chassan's eyes, we should praise her to him. Rav Dimi said in Eretz Yisrael, they would praise the Kala by saying that she's beautiful without even needing makeup or braids in her hair. When Rav Zeri got smicha, the Rabbanan said this quote as well, meaning to say that he didn't need nice clothing to make him who he was. When Rav Asi got smicha, the Rabbanan said, it's people like this who deserve smicha. The Gemara says that the maids of the Caesar would praise Rabbi Avo when he would arrive at the palace. Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi would dance in front of the Kala with a hadas, you know, a myrtle branch, and would say, Kala nova chasuda. Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak would juggle three hadas, and Rabbi Zeri thought it was improper for a Talmud Chacham to do this. However, when Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak died, a pillar of fire came near him in the shape of a hadas, which showed him great honor, and showed it was in the schus of what he did. Rabbi Acha would dance with the Kala on his shoulders. When the Rabbanan asked him they should do this as well, he told them, if when you carry her, it's in your mind as if you're carrying a beam, then you're allowed to do that. Rabbi Shmuel bar Achamin and Rabbi Yonason said, it's mutter to look at the kala during the 7 days of Sheir Brachas. The Gemara says we do, but we don't pass them like this. Zok Gemara Brachas says if the paths of a funeral and the kala going to her wedding, they cross, so one has to let the other go first, the funeral has to allow the kala to proceed first. Both of these, Saya Kala and Saya, a funeral, would have to move to the side to allow a king to pass first. King Agrippas once stopped and allowed the kala procession to proceed first, and the Chum praised him for doing so. In fact, how could a king do that? Rav Ashi has said that a pasuk teaches that a king may not be Meichel in his covet. Where I said the story happened at a crossroads, so it was not very obvious that he was allowing her to go first, therefore it was allowed to be done. Zok Gemara Brisa says, we stop learning to go and participate in a funeral and to bring a kala to her wedding. It was said about Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Eloi, that he would stop learning to do these activities. This ruling, Zok Gemara, is only when the person is needed to help bury the dead. However, if there are sufficient people without him, he may not stop his Torah learning to go ahead and help that and to join the Levaya. How many people are considered sufficient to bury the mace? Rav Shmuel bar Inyo, in the name of Rav, said 12,000 men and 6,000 men with shofars. Others say it's 12,000 of which 6,000 have shofars. Ula said it's sufficient if there are enough people to take up the space between the city and the cemetery. Rav Sheshe said just as the Torah was given with 600,000 people, so too when it's taken away, meaning when a Talmud Chacham passes away, it would need 600,000 people. The Gemara says this is only for someone who learned Tanakh and Mishnah. For someone who taught even Mishnah, there's no limit to how many people are proper for him to have. The Mishnah said, "V'im yesh edim sheyatzasah behinuma v'chula." What's a hinuma? So surcha by Papa Neva of Ziri said it's a round chuppah of hadas. Rabbi Yechon said it's a veil covering the face of the kala. The Mishnah said, "Rabbi Yechon mebreika emer v'chulu." The Mishnah, in fact, the Mishnah taught the customs for the weddings of a Basula in Yehuda. What would be some of the customs of weddings in Bavel? So Rav said the rubbing of oil on the heads of the Rabbanan. What would they do if the kala was a widow? So Yosef taught they would not throw dried grain. Mishnah said, "Umaydir Rabbi Yeshua be'omer lechaveh v'chulu." Why didn't the Mishnah give the case where one tells the other, "This field was yours and I bought it from you," and say that Rabbi Yeshua would agree that he's believed based on a mikui? Why do you have to give the case that he claims it was bought from the person's father? Where it says the Mishnah later says, if there are witnesses that it belonged to the father, the person is not believed. This statement could not have been made about the previous owner directly, because if the purchaser had it for 3 years, he has a chazaka and he'd be believed against the witnesses. If he didn't have it for 3 years, it's obvious that he would not be believed. So, in fact, we should ask the same question regarding the claim that he purchased from the father. If he had it for 3 years, he's believed no matter what. If he had it for less than 3 years, he's obvious that he's not believed. Where it says, the case of the father is a chiddush for when the purchaser had the field for 2 years during the father's lifetime and 1 year during the minor son's lifetime, in which case it's not considered to be a chazaka. Why couldn't the Mishnah say we're discussing where he claims to have bought it from the other person himself, but the case is where he had it for 2 years in the previous owner's presence and 1 year where the previous owner wasn't there, he had to flee somewhere, and this will also teach us it's not considered to be a chazaka? Mar says this can't be the case, because if he had to flee to save his life, it's obvious it wouldn't be a chazaka. If he had to flee for monetary matters, he still should have gone to Bezdin in any place where he was to make a macho and prevent the chazaka from taking effect, because we find in the Mishnah that a macho made to prevent the chazaka can be made in any place. It doesn't have to be made in the place where the chazaka is taking place. It can be made any place, and therefore if he had gone somewhere else, not for of sakonat tefash, not because he was afraid for his life, he should have made a macho over there.